Hey, Drummond, I don't know if you want to put something at the end of the agenda for kind of coordinating between IIW rebooting Web of Trust and verifiable claims and blockchain stuff. I feel like there's some amount of coordination we need to do, and it would probably be good to do that earlier than later so people know kind of what to expect for the fall conference season.
I'm happy to. As you know, I can't make it to rebooting Web of Trust either.
Right.
So if Christopher's here, he could also talk to that topic. I'm happy to put in my two cents about how we can help do that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know if Christopher, Marta, or Kiara are going to be here today. But if they are, we can add that to the end of the agenda. All right. Let's go ahead and get started. We're in the middle of vacation season, so it's going to be a light call today. Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, oh, actually, you know what? Let's scribe. Nate, you're up next. Would you mind scribing today?
That'll be just fine. Thanks.
Thank you very much. 410 error code, who's that?
Yeah, that's like.
It's last.
Yeah, you might be able to get away with using.
Roth?
Last. Les Chasen.
Oh, hey, sorry, Les.
No problem.
Good old 8 kilohertz audio. Okay. All right, so on the agenda today, we're going to finally get to talk about the dissenting opinions and attach some company names to them. Those went out yesterday. On the verifiable claim stuff, we've got some discussion on Jose JWT. Some clarification analysis on that. Verifiable claims working group face-to-face agenda, just kind of prepping for success if it's approved, as well as some updates from the web payments IG, and then cover any other business, which might include how we're going to coordinate this work with the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop coming up at the end of September, right after TPAC, and then Internet Identity Workshop coming up in a month after that on the West Coast. Any other updates or changes to the agenda before we move on? All right, let's go ahead and jump into it. First up on the agenda are all the dissenting opinions for verifiable claims. So the good news as of, you know, 2 weeks ago was that the Web Payments Interest Group decided to push the verifiable claims charter and all the our entire proposal that we had collected onto W3C management for approval to send it on to the W3C membership. I'm getting some background noise from folks, so if you're not talking, please mute yourself. So the good news is that the IG passed it almost unanimously. There were three dissenting opinions. One of them came from Microsoft, which was a pretty strong opinion against the work. Another came from Google, which was not as strong. It was kind of a more around process and incubation time. And then the third one came from W3C staff that they cannot support the charter as is. So let's kind of go ahead and review them. Now that the minutes are public, we can talk a bit more about each company's opposition to it. So. Microsoft's advisory committee representative, Mike Champion, has basically said that Microsoft's opinion of the verified claims work is that it is unnecessary. It overlaps heavily, if not completely, with the verifiable with the Jose JWT work. So if what we're trying to do is express claims, there are plenty of claims languages out there that exist for doing that. This was further reinforced at the MIT blockchain workshop where we had a couple of folks from Microsoft sit at the table for verifiable claims and say that they have not seen any support from their customers for anything that looks like verifiable claims or sub-sovereign claims. They're basically saying that Jose JWT is good enough, and that creating a common language across multiple industry verticals is something that they expect the industry verticals to figure out, and a standardization initiative around that is not needed. There was also concern that the work had not been incubated enough and that there wasn't enough cross-pollination with the Jose JWT work. So the strongest pushback right now is from Microsoft. Those that have participated with, you know, in these workshops with Microsoft know that this is not an equally held belief across all of Microsoft. So there is a subset of Microsoft identity services which are pushing back against this work. And there's another set of groups that are very much in agreement with at least the concept behind self-sovereign identity and verifiable claims. Okay, so, you know, this is not a universal opinion inside of Microsoft, but the people that are speaking up against the work are the ones that are opposed to it inside Microsoft, specifically the people that have been working very heavily in the Jose JWT space. Any questions on Microsoft's position?
So, Amanda, this is Drummond. Can I just ask, is there a particular
sure.
proponent of that position that we should be aware of at Microsoft?
So, Anthony, I think Anthony, I think most of this is coming from Anthony Nadlin at Microsoft. He's
yep.
the one that kind of sat at the table and, you know, said that this is unnecessary. So I think Mike Champion's, you know, AC position is largely repeating what Anthony Nadlin's beliefs are inside of Microsoft. So I'm trying to – Anthony's currently at IETF in Berlin. We are trying to set up a discussion with him after IETF. To see if there's any way to come to consensus on a path forward. But seeing as how we have so narrowly scoped the work and still that's not acceptable, it's hard to imagine, you know, a rescoping of work that would work for Microsoft. I think mainly what they're saying is whatever you build, you should just build it on top of Jose and JWT. So don't take, you know, that should be what the charter is focused on, is building on top of JWT and Jose, and build it on top of, just build it for the education sector, because those are the primary folks that you have involved in the group. As Eric pointed out, Jose JWT doesn't really support linked data natively, and there's some difficulties with it's getting it to work with linked data in general. And at least the education sector has bought in pretty heavily to that, and financial services in some cases have bought into it as well. Now, also, you know, keep in mind that this group, the spec that we've put forward has an option to use Jose JWT. So the assertion that it is competitive with it is, it has no grounds, because we're basically saying, look, you can use Jose JWT or you can use linked data signatures. It's up to the market vertical to figure out what they want to use. Drummond, did that kind of give you did that kind of answer your question, who seems to be opposed
yes,
to it most?
It does.
Okay.
I was just I'm surprised, because as I told you when I met with Kim Cameron, he seemed like verifiable claims was exactly the kind of thing he was looking for, and therefore he was surprised there was any opposition to Microsoft.
Yeah, and I think we need to figure out how to get Kim Cameron to chat with Mike Champion, because I think Mike Champion is unaware of Kim's position on this
right.
stuff.
Okay.
So So any help that you could provide to get those two talking to one another, we'd really appreciate it, because I think there's, you know, that might be enough to remove Microsoft's objection to the work.
Right. I'll see what I can do.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Dan, you were on the queue, but you took yourself off.
Yeah, just because I didn't want to derail where that was going, so.
Okay. Okay. Did you have another point that you wanted to make, or?
I was just going to say that, yes, there is, I mean, everyone on the group knows this, but sometimes I think people need to be reminded of it, others outside of the group in particular. In all cases working with technology, there's a difference between a technology and a solution that uses that technology. And for our purposes, JWT is a technology, not the solution that we need. Right, so it's one possible technology that can be used, one possible grammar that can be used.
Right. Yeah, and I think that, you know, we've positioned it like that. Meaning we're not saying, you know, this is competitive. We're saying, look, if people want to use it, they can use it. But our, you know, implementation experience shows that there are significant issues with reusing JWT. Now, in the same vein, you know, JWT, that stuff has gone through ITF security review and is effectively in, you know, an RFC. Whereas the linked data signature stuff is not. It needs to go through the same sort of security review. Okay. Let's see. Any other questions about Microsoft before we move on to Google's opinion? Okay. So Google gave their opinion next, and they said that they agreed more or less with what Microsoft said, but they didn't rehash any of it. So we don't really know the degree to which they have the same position as Microsoft. Chris Wilson was speaking on behalf of Google. He's not their – I don't think he's their AC rep. I think TV Roman is, but I mean, Chris has been – you know, involved with this stuff for a long time. Chris's point was that he felt that the work needed to be incubated more. And we pointed out that, there are multiple things. He felt that we don't have enough of a variation in members that want to see the work happen outside of education. So he said education is primarily the group that we should focus on and come up with a solution for education, and if that solution works, we should expand it to finance and healthcare and things like that once we're able to get more members from that community. Now, the concern there is that, you know, this was happening in the web payments interest group. Many of the participants in the meeting and many of the people that have seen the vote are in the financial services sector. They're not in the education sector. So it was a bit confusing why Chris felt that there wasn't as much support in the financial services sector. It probably has to do with deployment. So a lot of the pilot projects that we have are in the education space. They're not necessarily in the financial services space. So that might be where that's coming from. So one of them was, you know, narrow the scope to education. The other one was, you haven't incubated this work enough, and when we asked twice in a pretty straightforward manner how much incubation is enough, and there was no solid answer given in return. It was like, you know, it was kind of a we'll know it when we see it response rather than a, well, you have to prove that you have three companies deployed to, you know, at least 10,000 people before we'll consider this as standards work. We did remind Chris that the most positive, you know, the most successfully voted for, the most positively voted for charter in W3C history was the Web Payments Working Group charter. And it had almost, you know, it had been incubated in a community group for 4+ years. And even then, Google and Microsoft opposed, you know, the start of the work. They didn't actually end up voting against it, but they said the Web Payments Working Group was a great example of work that started too soon. Now, the problem, of course, being that, you know, if something is has a community of, you know, 200+ people around it, it's got specs, it's got, you know, it's the most voted for thing in W3C history, you know, if that doesn't meet the bar for incubation, then what does? It seemed that most of it boiled down to, and this is me just guessing, but it seems that most of it boils down to, you know, Google wasn't involved in the incubation, therefore we don't believe that it was incubated long enough. The same may go for, you know, Microsoft. They like to be involved in the work. But there's a problem with that in that they do not want to be involved in the work because it exposes them to the patent concerns and issues. They can't join some of the community groups because of the patent concerns and issues. And so, you know, Google and Microsoft, for example, didn't join the web payments, you know, work until, David, correct me if I'm wrong, until the working group formed, right? I don't know if they really, if they joined the interest group or not, or maybe they joined there at the very end. So,
I didn't hear what you said, Munden, but
the question was, you know, did Microsoft and Google join the Web Payments Interest Group, or did they wait until we had a charter for the working group before they joined? I forget when they joined, but it was kind of in the I felt it was kind of in the twilight hour.
I think it's tied. I think it's tied into the working group, but
okay.
I couldn't be certain about that either.
Okay. Well, in any case, you know, it seemed like a lot of their position was the, you know, why weren't we consulted thing, when in fact, you know, they were consulted multiple times and they still didn't participate in the work. Google, however, did say, Chris, that they thought that the work was very important and they want to see it continue. So it was, that was a difference in Google's opinion there. And that was pretty much it. I don't think that there was much else. You know, Google's position wasn't as they weren't taking as hard of a line stance as Microsoft was. The third organization that was really interesting was Apple, who we weren't expecting to say anything at all, but Apple was very supportive of the work, and they were a plus one to take it to W3C management for a vote. So that was really interesting and unexpected. Any question on Google's position or Apple's position? Okay. I should note that, you know, the other organizations that voted in favor, you know, were I think Bloomberg, NACS, U.S. Federal Reserve, Ripple, Digital Bazaar. I mean, basically everyone in the room was a plus one to move. The people that were participating in the IG and the Verified Claims Task Force were a plus one in moving the work forward. So I think the work over the next month or two is going to be trying to chase down folks at Google and Microsoft to see if there's any room for negotiation on consensus. And then, of course, Drummond, if you can figure out a way to get Kim and my champion on the phone, or maybe all four of us on the phone so that we can talk it through, that would be super helpful. Okay.
Yeah, as I
any
said, I'll
questions?
Try, but no promises.
Okay,
Kim's
no problem.
It's not easy.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Okay, anything else on the dissenting opinions before we move forward? All right. Second on the agenda is the Jose JWT clarification analysis. I sent out the wrong. Hold on 1 second. Let me find the proper link here. So we have a section in the spec now that talks about expressing credentials, the verifiable claims as a JWT. So if you go to that link that I've just put in IRC and if you scroll down to example number 4, that is what a JWT look. That's what a verifiable claim looks like as a JWT. Over the next month or two, we're going to have to be very clear about the reasons some of the organizations are exploring linked data signatures, what those are versus Jose JWT. Like I said, I think we're going to try and stay as agnostic as possible in the working group, and we're going to say, if you want to use linked data signatures, here's how you sign a claim. If you want to use JWT, here's how you sign a claim. There are a number of, you know, issues that we've uncovered with JWT over the years. This is not a new thing for us. You know, we've been looking at it for 4+ years. In fact, the very first set of iterations on verifiable claims or credentials used JWT in Jose, and we slowly had to move away from it for reasons we will document and have to at this point. One of the first things that folks might note with the JWT is that it is a Base64 encoded blob. You can't actually see the data unless you decode it. That is somewhat of a concern for being able to publish this stuff embedded in HTML so that search engines and crawlers can pick it up. This is important for cases like, for example, the Credentials Transparency Initiative. The CTI work wants to be able to publish, these credential templates to the web and potentially have search crawlers pick up that data. That's not to say that it's impossible. It's that, you know, we're basically talking about injecting a bunch of Base64 encoded blobs in HTML pages where the way schema.org does it today is as JSON-LD embedded in the page, and attaching a signature to that JSON-LD is a fairly simple thing with linked data signatures. So that's just kind of one kind of example, example 3 and 4, that kind of shows you the tip of the iceberg for the concerns with each approach. It is possible to shoehorn linked data into the JWTs, so we've done that. If you scroll down below example 4 in the document, you can kind of see how we've kind of tried to shoehorn this information. But again, you cannot express it in signed form without Base64 encoding it, because white space ends up mattering a lot, whereas white space doesn't matter for linked data signatures. Okay, so all this to say that we have started the analysis process on Jose JWT. We expect this to be a point of contention throughout the work. So the more people that are kind of tuned into why it's a point of contention, the better off we'll be. The thing that we don't want to have happen is for folks in this group to go into the discussion completely unaware of the trade-offs between linked data signatures and JWT, and as a result, you know, one solution is pushed over the other solution. Okay, let me stop there. Any comments? I know, Dan, you had a couple of comments about the example, and Shane, you have some concerns as well on how this ties into web payments interest group stuff. Would both of you mind kind of giving your two cents on this stuff real quickly?
Sure. This is Dan. I'll just
Nate as well.
I'll just go quickly. It was specifically about the example itself. It's not really a problem with the structure, but in the example that you put in, it'd be nice to include also what the public key is, so that again, for people reading it, they can verify the signature. So that's just one piece that should be in there anytime we include a JWT example. The other thing is that you use the RS-256 algorithm, which is probably the most widespread, at least on web tools for decoding these things. But IETF has actually been working very hard over the past year or two to encourage more stronger encryption by default. And so, you know, I just recommend in the example, if possible, that we use one of the elliptic curve variants. The main reason for doing this in a spec, particularly in our case where we might not actually be in a position to ever recommend particular algorithms to use. We might just say, hey, you just have to say what they are, but we don't recommend specific ones. But even in the case of having examples, it's good for your examples to use what you expect people to do, because many people will just copy and paste them, right? Or you might get some newbie who looks at this and goes, oh, shoot, I don't know which algorithm to pick, so I see here you have RS-256. I'll use that one.
Right. Yep, very good point. I think the reason we use RS-256 is because that's what JWT.io, the example site, has support for. It doesn't have support for ES-256. So perhaps we should just... So, point taken, we should upgrade it to ES-256. Here's the other thing with elliptic curve stuff. There's concern about NSA backdooring into some of the elliptic curves, and the Bitcoin community is particularly concerned about that, and they want to use verifiable claims as well. SEC 256K1 implementation, as far as I know, for JWT. So these are all kind of concerns. These are things that we should probably raise as issue markers in the JWT signature. And, you know, if we use something like ES-256, we'll say, hey, some people are concerned about NSA backdooring for these algorithms. And in that case, you know, you should use X instead.
I understand. Okay. So you had different and equally valid reasons for recommending RS-256, recommending, so to speak, in the example,
yeah.
RS-256.
Yeah, yeah. But I think your point is absolutely spot on.
Right, and if you look at the RFC for JWTs, then you'll see a list of algorithms, and it actually lists two as recommended, RS-256 and ES-256, with a star or I think a plus after it, which says essentially watch this space because we may need to upgrade this to something else. The IETF is definitely watching that as well, and that was the other point I wanted to make. Is I don't claim to be an expert at all in any of this, and I think for the most part we just want to show whatever the sort of best of today's recommendations are, whatever they end up being.
Exactly. Yep. And there was actually also some with the linked data signature stuff. Anyway, we're looking at some. Post-quantum crypto mechanisms as well. Hierarchical deterministic keys for doing signatures, XMSS, and you know family for doing signatures as well. It's a space that's pretty rapidly evolving pretty rapidly. Good point. And it's you know some of this is kind of up to the working group. Or it is up to the working group to decide what to recommend, if anything. We may come out of it and just say, hey, you know, look at this page for the most up-to-date recommendation. We don't feel comfortable doing it in a spec that's going to last for 5 years because we think the lifetime of lifetime of anything we could recommend right now is like 2.5-3 years. So effectively all this to say that we're starting the analysis on it. We're going to try to come up with a paper that describes, you know, all the benefits and trade-offs of using JWT versus linked data signatures and things of that nature. The other ask of the group is please participate in this work, like either doing a review of the paper or putting your thoughts in. That would be super helpful. I think Shane was on the queue, and then Nate.
Yeah, thanks. I think first, offline, Mono, remind me to talk to you about the 2.5 to 3 year thing. I don't want to do that now, but I don't want to forget. We've been talking in the web payments area about the various couponing or loyalty program, et cetera, and all of those kinds of things are the types of things that I expect we want to be able to expose readily on the web. So having that data be schema orgable, if you will, structured such that the search engines can find it, I think is hugely important. And, JWT, I understand what it's good for, and I understand why there's people who have powerful feelings about it, and for the things it's good for, it's probably good for them. I don't think it's good for this as a general case solution. It's great for putting it in a header in a HTTP request. It's, not great for embedding in content. That's my opinion.
Got it. Thanks, Shane. Nate, you're up next.
Hold on,
you might be muted. There we go.
So my question was, so I've been digging into signature mechanisms and finding that the linked data signature may work very well for some open bench stuff, because particularly it's really good at being embedded at multiple different parts of a complex linked data document where different parts may be signed by different parties and multiple signatures may exist. My question is, for the purposes of this document, should we be actively trying to highlight cases where JWT is much harder to use or doesn't afford the same things, or should we kind of leave that to later in hopes of being more diplomatic?
That's a good question. Probably not in this document, but in the analysis document, we'll want to do that, right? So this analysis document that we're putting together, Nate, is going to contain all the reasons you should use linked data signatures or all the reasons you should use JWT and the trade-offs. And in that particular case, I think what you're talking about would be super helpful.
So, thanks. What would be the best way to plug into that document editing and work?
I think what we might do is just start out with a Google Doc, and once we get it in decent shape, we'll move it to an HTML page, same way we've been editing documents over the past couple of years in this group.
Cool, thanks.
So stay tuned for the link, I guess, is what I'm saying. The other, we did write about this a very long time ago. So in 2013, when linked data signatures was called secure messaging, so we, I put out this blog post where we went through and kind of documented the current state of JWT, JWS, JWE, all the Jose stack, and kind of talked about the benefits and drawbacks at that point, so back in 2013. And we actually put this in as input to the Jose working group as, concerns, and we did not get a response from the group Nothing significant. They said, yeah, we're looking into it, but none of the specs were changed as a result of the spec reviews that we did. Primarily because, you know, we were asking for something, pretty big changes to JWT, and they were at the very, very end of the standards process. So anyway, nothing much was changed. So if folks want to, you know, read about some background on why, you know, the linked data signatures stuff kind of changed or the things that we did differently in linked data signatures versus Jose JWT, you can look at that. Okay. Anything else on Jose JWT stuff? Okay, if not, we'll jump to the next topic, which is the Verifiable Claims Working Group face-to-face agenda. This comes with a huge caveat, which is there is no such thing as a Verifiable Claims Working Group right now. We are currently chatting with W3C staff and management to figure out how the proposal can be put forward to the W3C membership for a vote. So the next step is effectively we're waiting, we're in a holding pattern with W3C management for changes that they would like to see made to the charter. Wendy Seltzer specifically is the point person on this. She is at ITF in Berlin this week. So we don't expect feedback from her this week. Possibly the following week we'll hear the first set of changes back from her. We have already discussed the stuff that we talked about at the Web Payments Interest Group face-to-face, the changes that she wanted there. So we will probably have an immediate response to her when she provides feedback to the group, but clearly we'll want to review it as a group before we send the changes back. And then it's basically up to W3C management to put this to the W3C membership for a vote. Given that it's the summer and lots of people are on vacation, W3C staff felt that it is probably not going to happen by TPAC, meaning the vote won't close by TPAC, but the vote might open before TPAC. And we're currently chatting with the Web Payments Interest Group to figure out if we can have some face-to-face time as a part of the Web Payments IG time allotment. So this would be basically a half day, potentially, to talk about this stuff. There is, I put a link to a draft agenda together. Keep in mind that this is a full-day draft agenda. It's not a half-day draft agenda. So we may want to come up with two alternatives. We'll want to come up with a half-day agenda, a one-day agenda, and a two-day agenda. And then the agenda we use will depend entirely on how many people can show up to the face-to-face meeting. So just to recap, we are currently in a holding pattern waiting on W3C management to give us feedback on the charter, what they think, what kind of charter would make the most, would have the highest chance of getting through a W3C vote. That unfortunately puts us in a spot where it's very difficult for us to plan on travel to TPAC. Some of us are going to be at TPAC anyway, but we would be asking Verifiable Claims Task Force folks and Credential CG folks to join W3C and come to TPAC, and time's kind of running out. We're supposed to give people about 8 weeks' notice, and that's pretty much starts today, is 8 weeks before TPAC. Okay, so apologies if that was not clear, but this Verifiable Claims Working Group face-to-face agenda is just a rough cut at what we might talk about. The links in IRC, the one-day agenda proposal there is basically setup, registration, and introductions. Then we talk about the charter and use cases, followed by a break, followed by the proposed architecture and goals, followed by lunch, followed by the data models and representation spec, and then the W3C working group collaboration process, just kind of a primer to the new folks on how you build specs at W3C, followed by a break, followed by next steps. So that's kind of a all-day affair. You start at 8:30 a.m. and we end around 5:30 or 6 p.m. There's a space for brainstorming down at the bottom of that page. So if you have any ideas, if you have comments on the agenda, anything like that, please make comments and things of that nature. We will probably extend this agenda. We'll add to this page and do a half day, full day, and 2 day agenda. And then based on when W3C gets back to us and how many people are coming to TPAC, we'll figure out how much time we can allot to this stuff. Okay. Any questions, concerns about the agenda? Anything that's not clear? And saying agenda looks good. All right. Okay, I think that's the end of our official call. There are a couple of other. Shane is saying we could just organize a meeting on the Sunday before TPAC. That is true. That is definitely an option. And that's actually very interesting. Would there be folks that could show up early to TPAC for that meeting, for a verifiable claims all-day meeting on that Sunday?
I definitely could. This is Dan. I already made hotel reservations, and I'm going to be there at that time.
Okay. As am I fly in, I think, the day. Oh, you know what? I don't know if my flight gets it. I might have to change my flight.
Yeah, I haven't made the flight reservations yet, but the hotel tends to go faster than flights, typically.
I was sort of joking, but if you're serious at all, Manu, I guess I would do a quick, a two-day survey or something.
Right. That's true. Okay, so... Yeah, let's survey. Here's the other option. If we feel like the right way to do this is to have a two-day face-to-face, and it's looking like, W3C management's not going to be able to get the vote started at W3C soon enough, then we may have a face-to-face, probably in the U.S. because that's where most of the people are. And we'd probably have it a bit later, after TPAC. That's the other option. But organizing a workshop for 40 people might be, organizing a face to face for 40 people might be a bit difficult in mid October. The other option is to link it in with the Internet Identity Workshop. That might be a really good. Way to get more people involved in the verifiable claims face-to-face.
Isn't that the week after TPAC?
No, that's the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop. So we're,
oh, sorry.
Let's talk about coordinating with other workshops. So Internet Identity Workshop is, I think, around the 27th of October, IW.
It's the 25th to the 27th, Manu, in Mountain View, California.
Great. So, maybe we should have a face-to-face. I mean, the following might be the best thing, so we could kind of circulate. 16. Yeah, 25th through the 27th. Maybe we could have it on... 28th and the 29th of October. That
Did
would
you
be
mean
Friday
September?
And Saturday.
I thought this thing was September. Okay, sorry.
No. Rebooting Web of Trust is the last week of September.
Now I'm with you.
Internet Identity Workshop is the last week of October. One of the issues here is this is heavy conference season. Okay, well, I mean, so that actually might not be a bad idea. Maybe we can hook it onto Internet Identity Workshop, pick up a number of people from there, at least as observers, and that might be a really good way to do a kickoff of the face-to-face, and that would give us plenty of time, 2 days, to kind of discuss this stuff. Awesome. Oh, EduCause. Oh, in Anaheim, the 25th through the 28th. Richard, do you think that would be a good idea to also kind of butt it up against EduCause?
I'm already going to be there on the coast, so I was just letting you know if other people go to that who are in the education world, they might be already there, so you can tag on to before or after your internet workshop, your identity workshop.
So
it's possible. If I'm at that conference, I can't get the other one. But if you have it later in the week, I break from one and go to the other before it. So anyway, just to let you know what's going on in California right then, we'll take up some of our members.
Okay.
Yeah, and Manu, I just confirmed I will be in China October 28th and 29th.
All right. Well, we'll circulate a dates that people can meet, and it's just understanding that it's conference season. It's going to be hard to pick any date that works for everyone. Drummond, do you think that we could co-locate at IIW?
Phil Winley is always looking for opportunities to work out co-locations like that. I think he would be very interested and supportive of doing that. So there's a very high possibility of that.
Okay. Maybe that would be a really good way to do this. Okay, thanks, Drummond. I'll reach out to you and Phil and the IIW folks. IIW, Dan, is the 25th through the 27th of October. Okay, all right. So the question is, there's this NIST, there's a NIST workshop on blockchain healthcare stuff that kind of touches on identity at the end of September, the 25th and the 26th in Gaithersburg, Maryland. And then immediately after that is the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop, which Christopher Allen has been putting on with Blockstream. And then the next month at the end is the Internet Identity Workshop. Clearly, we want kind of a running theme for verifiable claims through all of those things because those communities have said that, verifiable claims are interesting to them, and we kind of want to keep everyone up to speed with what's going on. I think many of us are going to end up missing the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop and hope to sync up with the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop folks at Internet Identity Workshop. It's just a kind of an open question to folks, think about opportunities to kind of weave the verifiable claim stuff in with these identity conferences that you're going to, and if you get a bright idea on a great way to co-locate with some of these initiatives, please let us know so that we can, kind of help spread the word on what we're doing here with verifiable claims. Okay, anything else on coordination? Drummond, any ideas on other potential ways to coordinate the W3C work and the other identity work that's going on now?
Well, my number one suggestion was going to be IW, so I think that's a really good idea. Phil Winley and the IW team is also trying to coordinate with Christopher Allen, see is follow-on work from the Rebooting Web Trust continues at IW. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of cross synergy here with other identity efforts. I've been raising visibility of verifiable claims with all of the different things that I'm involved with, and so I think it's mostly a matter of keeping an active dialogue going, looking for chances to either get together at events or make sure people are aware as the effort gets going that they can join, they can be part of it. I can't think of any other specific conferences coming up. It's already thick enough in the fall to try and get synergy on. So I think I'd focus on IW.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, thanks. Any other thoughts on coordinating with other conferences that are going on? Okay.
Have we completely given up on the idea of trying to do something at the W3C meeting at TPAC?
I
understand that we won't
do
have an official
at the
group.
W3C meeting. Yeah, I think we're definitely going to try to do something at the W3C meeting. My concern is that, we don't have enough people show up to it from the Verifiable Claims Task Force because there's not a commitment from W3C that anything's going to happen at that point. It's very hard for people to go to their organizations and say, I need, $4,000 to travel to Portugal. On something that might not happen, right? So my hope is that we can use W3C TPAC to circulate the charter and discuss it and get people to show up and participate. I don't know if because of the late notice we'll be able to actually get the organizations that really want to participate there to TPAC. My concern is that if we do say, we're having the face-to-face at TPAC and, only 10 people show up, then W3C membership and staff will look at that as, we're off to a very bad start. Maybe we shouldn't do this.
Yep, it's a nasty chicken and egg problem. I agree.
But yeah, I think we're going to plan to try to do something at W3C. The amount of that something we do is currently unknown. Okay. Anything else? If not, that's the call. Okay, thanks everyone for the call this week. David, you're on the queue. Go ahead. And you might be muted. You're probably still muted, David. Okay. David's fine with waiting. Okay, that's it for the call. We will meet again next week if we have made progress on the Jose JWT analysis. Please comment on the agenda and keep thinking about ways that we can meet face-to-face to get this work started. Great. Thanks all. Bye.